looking back at the songs you recorded with TC Atlantic, mm-hmm. do you have a favorite one?
From the songs that we recorded, I really like 20 Years Ago in Speedy's Kitchen. I think that's still fun to listen to. And I think I'm So Glad. It's really, really good. In my opinion, that should have done better than it did. But, you know, listening to these things, you know, they all bring back memories that are fun. Mona and Shake sound pretty good recorded. They're both on the live album, and I like the way they sound on the live album, too. So I'm pretty proud of all this stuff. Interestingly, the thing I like the least is my drum solo on Love Light, which is painful for me to listen to today. But Love Light was always kind of a fun song to play on stage.
I think quite a few local bands played Love Light.
Everybody played Love Light.
Yep. Now, missing on that CD, I believe, is Shake and Spanish Harlem.
And I don't know why it's not included here.
They didn't have that 45? Or
it's possible that they didn't, but it seems like I gave it to them.
So that's a mystery.
Yeah, maybe there just wasn't room.
So as far as unreleased songs by TC Atlantic that you recorded, are there any?
Not that I can recall. We didn't. I know that, again, before I joined the group, Peter recorded a bunch of their material. I remember that he recorded Rockin' Robin and a bunch of those things, probably straight through cuts in the studio, but none of them were ever released, and there was never any serious discussion about releasing any of them.
That's before you were in the
Before
band.
I even joined the group. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who has the master tapes at
I
this point?
I have no clue.
Okay.
When Dove was sold, they tried to return masters to everybody that they could find because they had a lot of them. But I honestly don't remember what happened to those.
So looking back at your time in TC Atlantic, is there any particular memory that sticks out in your mind as a good memory?
Most of them are good. We had a lot of fun playing together. And by and large, we had a lot of fun traveling together. Everybody took what we did seriously. It was, you know, it was what you did. It was your business. So we didn't, like I think most bands, even then, we didn't do drugs. We didn't drink a lot. You know, you might have a beer occasionally or something. But there wasn't as much partying as people like to think you did.
Now, you mentioned earlier that TC Atlantic really ran their band as a business.
Yeah, more than most groups. You know, I think most groups, especially younger groups or starting out groups, you play someplace, you make $100, everybody gets $25 and you go home. In the Underbeats, we took all the money, it was deposited in the bank, people got checks every week. It was pretty sophisticated, and that way, when you weren't playing all the time, you still had money in the bank and you could still pay yourself. In TC Atlantic, they took that even further. They had an accountant. We paid withholding. We had jointly bought and owned property. So the PA and the truck and everything was, you know, legally owned by the corporation, TC Atlantic. It was a pretty sophisticated system for a band. But we were making about as much money every week as a teacher or, you know, a lot of professionals kind of at that level. We weren't getting rich, but you were making pretty good money considering we only played a few hours a night. But when you weren't playing, of course, you were traveling or you were rehearsing or whatever. So it was a full-time thing. And I think that TC Atlantic treated it more seriously than a lot of groups who are just in it sort of for the fun or for the girls.
I like to ask bands what kind of cars they drove at the time.
I had an Austin Healey for a long time. It was black with red interior. Wonderful car. I've had a lot of two-seaters.
Did you have a Jag in the Underbeats?
I had a Jag,
I think so.
Yeah, the Jag was an amazing car. My wife, this was just before we were married, the Underbeats played at the prom ballroom one night. I remember this really, really clear. It was in the summer. My parents and my family had gone to the Black Hills in South Dakota. So Pat and I were going to leave from the prom and go out and spend a couple of days in the Black Hills with my family. So she met me at the prom at midnight when we got done playing. We took off for South Dakota. There wasn't a freeway then. It was just a two-lane highway. And by maybe 4 in the morning, the sun was coming out enough that it was light, nobody on the highway but us. And we drove the Jag at 150 miles an hour for about 3 hours straight. And the car just hummed. It was beautiful. The road was arrow straight. Yep. And I mean, it was a stupid thing to do, but at the time it felt pretty safe.
Yeah. And you did not run into any highway patrol.
I didn't run into anybody. And I'm not even sure it was illegal to go that fast
maybe
in South Dakota.
Anyway.
Maybe not.
What did the other guys drive?
Jim had a Corvette in the Underbeach. Yeah, he put that into a tree pretty early. He didn't have it very long. He's got another one now. I don't know what year he bought a new vet.
And how about the guys in TC
Atlantic? TC
Atlantic.
And I can't for the life of me remember that Fred even had a car. It seemed like he just drove our truck around. And I don't remember what Joe had either. I don't think either one of them had anything especially interesting. But I don't remember.
Did we leave Bob out of there or not?
Bob had a Mustang. I'm sure it was a Mustang convertible.
So as a drummer, looking back at the time that you were playing drums, let's include the Underbeats in this as well. During the era of the Underbeats and TC Atlantic, the whole 1960s, were there any local drummers that impressed you?
You know, I'm sure there were, but here's the honest truth. We didn't get to hear many local bands. If it was a weekend, we were working someplace. So the only bands that we heard were bands that played with us. I don't remember any. We played with a number of national acts. I don't remember any of them that were especially unforgettable, except for the drummer that played with the Everly Brothers. Was really, really good. He was a very good drummer. And he did a fun solo in their show where he left the drums and played all around the stage. He'd play on a guitar string. He'd play on a chair or a podium. He'd play all around the stage and then get back on his drums. He was really fun.
Do you remember any other national acts you played with?
We played with, in TC Atlantic, I know we played with the Lovin' Spoonful. We played with, oh gosh, I'm confused in some ways between who we played with the Underbeats and who we played with the
right.
TC Atlantic.
Right.
We played with Jan and Dean one time. We played with the Everly Brothers a lot. I don't remember. We played with a number of people. It was interesting that, I remember playing with Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs in Duluth, and they were a hoot. We got into the armory, and they were already there setting up, and I was talking to one of the guys. Sam was kind of a big guy. One of the other guys was saying that they were playing someplace like Duluth, but not in Duluth, and somebody was up kind of bothering them when they were getting set up. So Sam picked up the organ, Hammond, picked it up and said, "Where does this go?" And he said, and all the guys that were heckling him kind of turned around and left. Hammonds weigh about 1 million pounds.
Yeah. Sam the Sham, of Sam course, Sham, yeah. Known for their super hit
Woolly
Bully.
Yeah. That's a great song.
Did TC Atlantic ever cover Woolly Bully?
No, I don't think we did. No, we should have.
Any final words, Rod?
I don't think so. I think we've done a pretty thorough job of digging all this up again.
To summarize it, looking back at this time period, do you look at it with fond memories?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I have a nephew who a few years ago was just going into college and he wanted to major in music. He was a really good horn player, good musician. And his dad called me and my brother-in-law and said, "Would you talk to him and sort of convince him that he shouldn't do this, shouldn't major in music because there's no careers out there?" And I said, I can't do that. I would tell him to major in music because, you know, music was so much fun for me, all of it, from marching bands to concert bands to rock and roll bands, the jazz I played, all of that was so much fun. I'd encourage any kid that could play to do that. So, yeah, a lot of fond memories.
Do you still play today?
No. The last time I played was with Jim and Don and Ray. Twice, actually. We played at that when we were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here, the Midwest Rock and Roll
thing. At Medina.
That must have been 10 years ago, practically. Then we played a few songs at a Robbinsdale High School graduating class of maybe 64 or 65 because Dennis Libby twisted our arm into doing that. And that was, I think that's the last time I played.
Do you still have a drum set?
No. I gave them away a long time ago.
Rod, thank you for taking the time to stop by Sunrise Sound in Rogers today and telling us the story of your time in TC Atlantic.
No, thanks, Tom. Thanks, Danny. Yep. My pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure indeed. The preceding interview was recorded on October 3rd, 2015 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.
ago, the cat had kittens.